I think so.
All right. Call this meeting to order. The chair is going to determine that there is no public comment on non-agenda items, and we'll move right to the consent agenda. Is there anything that anybody wants pulled from the consent agenda? Can I have a motion to approve that?
Motion to approve consent agenda.
Second, and I just wanted to bring it to everybody's attention that we did change the format of the, just for, to hopefully clarify a couple of items on the dashboard. Looking in the lower right-hand corner, at station debt, we went from that pie chart format, and I told Amy I'd try to get feedback from everybody, so I don't know if everybody had a chance to look at that, but we wanted to try and include the two previous iterations after our refinance did not include the payoff of the previous portion of the debt, and it didn't show that payout amount on the previous pie chart. And so we tried to capture that information as to what was paid on the old bond and then what's remaining on the new bond. And so hopefully that provides for a little bit more information. The second thing that we changed is on the panel that displays budgetary comparisons. And so on it, we now include total expenditures, including capital expenditures. And we break down between personnel, other operating expenses, capital expenditures, and then the total of those different items. So a little bit more information, hopefully in a palatable format on the dashboard. So if there's any comments, I told Amy that we would provide her feedback if there's any suggestions in that regard.
Really good.
I'd like changes. To also mention that there's been a delay getting all of our reports from the county. So we, at the time she put this together, we did not have April and May's information. So
right.
I would anticipate we've received more taxes. Our cash balance is more as well.
Yeah. And I don't know if everybody, just kind of as a side note, if the county is actually undergoing, they're upgrading their software, and they're also changing responsibilities between treasurer and finance. And so they're kind of in the middle of some changes there that are, I'm sure, playing a role in our delayed response on getting our reports from the county.
Yeah, I think the station debt box is way improved. It's really, really good. And I like it all. So thank you for bird dogging that. Okay, we have a motion to approve the consent agenda. Is there a second?
Yep.
All those in favor, Cheryl?
Walt?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, Walt, I think you've got agenda item number one, is that right?
That's correct, yep, and I'll let Cheryl help me out. We met, well, and Brian, the three of us met here, let's see, it's been a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago or so now. And to discuss wages for the remaining paid staff. Obviously, we made changes to the chief's salary, and so we wanted to address salaries for the rest of our paid staff and come up with something that we felt was fair that we could present to the board. And so if you look on the regular agenda, item one, there's a spreadsheet that lays out the proposal, and it breaks down, there's three main tables. Table one is based on FY 2021, in other words, what exists at the prior to approving a wage for the chief. The second table displays the information that includes the increase in base wage for the chief. And what we tried to do is basically mirror that increase, which was roughly 17%. And so what we did is we agreed that we would apply that 17% increase to the rest of the positions. And The other item of note, when you transition from table two to table three, the part-time maintenance assistant, that position disappears, and we incorporate a training captain, and the training captain is at the same base wage as the maintenance captain. We also address the administrative assistant increase on an hourly basis, approximating that same 17%. The one thing to take into consideration when you look at these data, I applied an overhead of 24%. That's kind of what we've been at for an average, and that's across all positions. And so obviously I'm way overstating it for the administrative assistant, because we don't pay as much overhead for the administrative assistant as we do.
When you say overhead, you mean like benefits?
Correct. Okay. Right. The first PERS and benefits and that sort of thing. So I'm overstating it in that particular case. I'm taking an average for the rest of the positions. Our previous maintenance captain, his overhead was a little higher. We had some younger members that were a little lower. So on average, it was around that 24%. And so that's what I used to generate these budgets in terms of the impact to overhead calculations if we were to approve the salary increase. And so the bottom line, if the board were to consider the 17% across the board increase for all paid positions, the total impact, net financial impact to our budget would be about $128,000 roughly. And that also, if you also puts us in a position where these paid positions are they're not high, they're not low. If you look at the data that Cheryl put together, based on our previous discussion that we used for arriving at the increase in wages for the chief, that we use those same data. And if you look at the base salaries for the paid positions and compare those with the data that Cheryl collected, we're falling in a reasonable range on.
And some members of the public listening to this might think, wow, 70% is massive. But that's catching up for 4 years of not adjusting salaries, right?
Correct. Thank you. Right. Yeah. From, July of 2017 is when we implemented the previous changes. So we are playing some catch up. And it's interesting that Bozeman's having the same type of discussion, with regard to trying to come up with a wage matrix that kind of takes into consideration extraordinary housing costs that are occurring in the valley, and trying to make it so that we can retain our people. Right. So, I guess it's interesting that they're having the same discussion that we are.
Chief, this 79,560 for the maintenance captain and training captain, everything's good as far as people you've talked to on filling those positions?
Yeah, obviously the maintenance captain will be happy with it because that's more than what we hired him at, but yeah. I think the training captain, I think that will be, when you look at comparisons, will be a good comparable salary to what other similar positions in that field make. And again, like Walt said, it's a big chunk, it's a big jump, but we're also in catch-up mode. Yeah. And like I mentioned to Walt too, we have a really good department, and I think, to keep things where we are and keep them growing, we just need to make sure we're watching out for our employees. And everybody knows, obviously, Bozeman's not a cheap place to live anymore. Yeah. And with the assistant fire chief and training captain, we may be looking at people moving in from outside the area, so they're going to have to establish themselves in Bozeman, which again isn't cheap to do these days. So I think it's reasonable and adequate for that position, for both of those positions, I should say.
And when we had our discussions, we all are operating under the understanding that this isn't the type of increase that we're going to be seeing on a, you know, kind of an annual basis. This is
right.
in part catch up and
yeah.
and in part making it more attractive to retain people. So,
and just to remind the chair, because he's forgotten, so we don't get in this situation again, we have the annual reviews now in the June. Okay, perfect. Board discussion.
And the chief, after a successful year, he's getting an increase on this as well. Everybody knows about that.
Right.
Ken, any questions, any thoughts?
Good.
Chief, all good?
All good.
We have a motion.
Well, I'd like to propose a motion that the board approve the pay matrix that's presented in Table 3. And just for the record, that results in an increase of $128,000 to our personnel budget.
Second.
Okay, Walt?
Aye.
Ken?
Aye.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Nice work, Walt. Thank you. Brian?
And Cheryl.
Okay, numero number two, is that you, Chief?
No.
Or is that Walt? Oh, Capital Reserve, sorry.
So on this particular item, we're obviously trying to maintain our capital reserves at a level that provides the resources to adequately fund our replacement plan, or hopefully manage that, but do the best that we can. I think what we've discussed is that we would like to propose placing $400,000 at this time into those three capital reserve accounts, splitting that $400,000, with most of it going to, I would suggest, go to apparatus replacement. We probably are in a position to put more monies into capital reserves, but I guess maybe we could hold off and make that decision a little bit later once we get more information. You know, we get closer to the end of the fiscal year and get the books closed for the year and find out exactly where we're at, you know, given that we had this big lag from the county.
Yeah.
Find out a little bit more
concrete.
Right.
Property taxes.
Exactly. And see, get a more concrete idea. Because one thing we do not want to do is place monies into capital reserves. It's not like we can't pull some of those monies out if we needed to, but in order to make it look like we're planning in a well thought out process, we don't want to short ourselves in terms of capital or cash flow for operating and leave some in reserves. You know, we get a bad fire year, something breaks down, and we blow an item on our budget. We want to be able to cover that. So with that being said, I guess we talked about $400,000, and I would suggest again that we put most of it into our apparatus replacement.
Did right, you remember that?
You know, right now we're currently at about our current balance is about $350,000. Let's see, I can give you more specifically what that number is. We are at $344,000. And we are at $200,000 for slightly over for capital improvements, and $72,000 slightly over that for building repair and replacement. So I would suggest that we put about $300,000 into apparatus replacement. We know we have some big ticket items coming down the pipeline or down the pike here that we're going to have to replace. So I would suggest that we put most of it into apparatus replacement, and I guess I'd like the chief to weigh in a little bit on the allocation between capital improvement and building repair and replacement. Do we have some items coming down the pipeline. You know, do we want to go 50-50 split on that remaining 100,000, or what would you suggest?
I would say 50-50. I mean, that would take our capital improvement reserve to 250. I would feel comfortable with that, doing just a 50-50 split.
50-50.
I don't see any, you know, big ticket item. I mean, if we said do paving, will be a big ticket item, but outside of that, I mean, there shouldn't be anything really that's going to take a huge bite out of that.
Okay.
So I think if we just split it 50-50, that would, we'd be fine with that.
So with that being said, I guess for purposes of discussion, I'd make a motion that we place $300,000 of monies into our capital reserve account for apparatus replacement, and $50,000 each into capital improvements and building repair.
Can I
talk? Second.
Good.
Yeah. Second.
Justin, did you second that? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. Walt?
Aye.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes. Okay, now, Brian, you got number three, disposal of capital assets.
I do. So there's just a few, you know, capital assets we've been hanging on to, and I wanted to bring it to the board to see, get some weigh-in on, we're not using the equipment, and just to dispose of it. So there's a few items. One is a pair of extrication equipment, and it, what I would recommend for that is we find a needy department when we donate it to it. This stuff is pretty old, and I don't know it has a whole lot of value left in it. And it's one of those things, if we go to try to sell it, it's probably going to sit for sale for forever, because nobody's going to want stuff that old and actually pay anything for it. So it's a set of TNT rescue tools. I think the department bought them used back in 2001 or 2002 or something like that, so they're pretty old. So that's one item, and again, I would just recommend we donate that to a department in need. Second one is, last year we replaced our ventilation fans on all of our trucks, so we have the old ventilation fans again that we're just holding. They're old, they're pushing 16, 17 years old. You know, to pick what a value would be in those, it's really hard to say, because there's no Kelley Blue Book for fire equipment. So again, we could donate those, we could try to sell them for, you know, $100 a piece, and see what happens, see if a department would be interested in them. So that's number two. Number three is one of our old utility Suburbans. It's actually Pete's old Suburban.
Old Suburban.
The green one?
What's that?
Is it the green one?
The green one, yeah. Technically, our plan was the new ambulance was going to replace that kind of response duties in a way. But we haven't used that Suburban in months. It won't start currently. It's got 245,000 miles on it.
It's just getting broken in.
So again, I mean, Kelley Blue Book, they don't value things in that age and that condition. So I mean, we could try to sell it for, you know, salvage price.
Is there a firefighter in need that wants something, or?
I don't think so for that, anyway. I know that, to sell it, whatever is wrong with it, that won't start. It was having overheating problems, but I think, I mean, that could be as simple as a thermostat.
Yeah.
It needs brakes, things like that. So it's in rough shape, but it's better.
Extrication training.
Yeah, that might.
That's another option. He could come witness it if he wanted to play with the tools.
He might shed a tear, though.
That's right.
So when they come and pick up junk from us at Billion, we get like $400 for scrap metal.
Mm-hmm.
Do they give you guys anything when they come and pick up these things that you've cut, or is it, yeah?
Yeah, we just give them to AF&T, and they give us whatever the salvage or metal price is at the time.
Nice, that's cool. I didn't know if they were just picking them up for free. Or
yeah.
Whatever, I didn't know, but.
Question for the other board members. Do you guys think that the disposal of this stuff is really a board decision, or should we just, like, let Brian be doing this stuff and not bring it to us?
I think it's kind of normal operation in a way.
In some regards, I would agree. Yeah.
It's no longer a capital asset.
I mean, no, I appreciate you bringing it to us, yeah. But I really think, you know, don't you do anything with my green Suburban without telling me that. But, I really think these are decisions you can be making without needing to come to the board.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm comfortable with that. I know in the past the board's wanted to kind of weigh in on things.
I think in some, I mean, maybe just have an idea what the list might be or something.
Yeah.
Sure. Just if we know a department or something.
Stick it in the fire chief's report.
You're right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think it needs to be an item that we decide.
Okay. Well, I can move those capital items to the chief's report on how we dispose of them next month.
But I always think it's a great deal if we can pass it on to a department that really funds mm-hmm. value.
Yeah.
So I totally support that.
Yeah, I mean, like the situation that arose for Winifred, you know, since I knew that connection, I mean, just to know what's out there and to be able to, you know, let somebody else know what might, a possibility that might exist.
Yeah.
To have some knowledge of it, we probably don't need to make too big a deal of it.
Guys really love that thing. It doesn't kick on at night, though.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know. I mean, we're fortunate that we can keep up on our equipment as good as we do, but there's, especially in Montana, there's a lot of apartments mm-hmm. that are working with next to nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, even that, you know, 21-year-old extrication equipment would be gold to mm-hmm. some areas.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So are there other items on your list since we don't have a list then?
The only other item, no, that'll be it. The only other item was our old plow truck, but I still need to do work with that one to get a good bill of health before I decide to move that other one.
What do you think?
I mean, that one looks decent. It's going into Diesel Pros for a full checkup and fluid change of everything. But it runs, and seems to run good.
Nice.
Okay.
Let's keep moving along here. Training captain job description approval.
Yep, so it's in your board packet. It was part of my proposal last month for the training captain. We just need approval from the board on the job description. So that's what we're looking for. And again, just a quick reminder, so main part of this position is going to be heavily on recruitment and recruit training. So really getting fingers out into the community, MSU, HOAs, wherever we can, make sure people know what we're looking for, and then closing that gap, recruitment to joining, and then the training of those people are the big ticket items for this position.
Any board discussion?
It looks great. Yeah.
Can y'all agree with that?
We're good.
I'll make a motion to accept proposed job description for training captain.
Second.
Well.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Justin.
Yes.
Pete.
Yes.
Number five is me too. if you guys remember last year, we did a contract for myself with the DNRC to basically pay for me to do wildland fire deployments. And that contract was good until July 1st of this year. So we're going back to renew the contract once again. As I mentioned last month, I'm at Truce Report, so I signed on as a member of the county assist team with the DNRC. Actually, I already had a deployment last week to Willow Creek for that team. But the contract itself, if you guys look in your packet, the contract piece, which is the first one, is unchanged. So basically, they're still reimbursing for my salary when I get deployed out. No changes from that last year. The second one is the option 3 contract, which is for our command vehicles, which I use when I go out on deployments. Again, unchanged from last year, it's still $100 a day reimbursement rate for those vehicles. And then the last part is option 3, the LGFF agreement, which basically is my salary that they're gonna reimburse. So, I kind of make some demands in this with the DNRC that anything over 40, I want overtime time and a half for. So my normal billing rate is my regular schedule under 40 hours a week. Over 40 hours a week is the overtime billing rate. Overtime billing.
One question, did you do the calculation? This is off the base, the current base salary, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I had Amy do it.
Amy did it for us.
Yeah. Okay.
Board discussion.
One concern I do have at this juncture, given what's happening right now, in this dry weather and the likelihood of events that you make call for your resources. Given that we don't have all of our holes filled with regard to being fully staffed, your thoughts with regard to meeting the needs of our department should something happen where an event occur?
Yeah, no, my position here comes first. So I won't take an assignment unless I know my bases are covered here. I won't leave us, you know, uncovered or where I'm until we get those other positions on, make sure that, you know, training is going as it should be before taking one of these assignments. So no, that's my kind of understanding. I told the overhead of the CAT team or the county assist team that this year might be a little tough because I have to bring these positions on until we get fully staffed again. Mm-hmm. So to answer your question, highlight comes before the deployments for the DNRC.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think, as long as we can kind of keep you around until we have those positions filled, I think that would make sense.
More board discussion?
Makes sense to me.
Makes sense to me, too. Motion?
Make a motion to approve reassigning the contract for Brian Nicolai.
Second.
Walt?
Aye.
Ken?
Yes.
Justin?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Okay. And Pete, we need your signature, is that what you're doing now? Okay.
Roll right into fire chief support.
Okay. So things are going good. We're busy. I don't know for sure the percentage above last year. Do you know by chance, Cheryl? That's a random question, but we're higher than what we have been. We're on track to hit possibly 700 calls this year, which we've never done before. So it's been a busy year so far, but we are just hitting it out of the park with volunteers and with residents. We're running multiple calls a day and we're still able to get trucks out the door, you know, in 2 to 3 minutes just due to the resident program. So it's busy, but we're doing good.
I think we're 90 calls ahead from last year.
at, for this time?
At this point.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
That's great.
So when you figure we only ran 583 calls last year, 90 calls above is quite a bit. So resident programs are fully staffed. Trainings are still going as we always have with the regular training and command training. Plow truck is right there. Just to give you guys kind of a bug in your ear of thoughts I have, if this thing gets a good bill of health, there's an opportunity we could utilize. So we didn't pay anything for that truck, obviously. It came from the DOD program. The DNRC has a co-op program with fire districts where if you provide the chassis, they'll provide you a wildland unit to go on it. So possibly one thing I'm considering, if this truck gets a good bill of health, we could take that flatbed off and put a brush unit on the back of it and have a second wildland truck, which we'd pay nothing for because the truck was free and the brush unit would be free from the DNRC.
That's the Type 6 or whatever?
It'd be a Type 6, yeah.
Yeah. That would help address some of your concerns about its traction too, and where you'd have a little bit more weight on that rear axle for plowing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it helped with the, because right now plowing with that thing would not be fun as it sits.
Yeah.
There's no weight on it, but.
Does that tank sit deep? No issues with freezing or anything if you're going to use it for plowing?
Yeah, so the DNRC, the way they build their wildland units is you drain the tank and then there's an air nozzle connection and you blow the pump and all the hose reel and everything out, so you clear the water out of it.
But you still have net gross weight that would be larger than that flatbed.
Yeah.
So you'd still have a weight advantage. Empty.
Right.
Yeah.
We still have the newer brush truck that they gave us?
We still have, yeah, the one co-op engine that we have, which is an old DNRC truck, yeah. So, looking at different options, but after the meeting, you guys go take a look at it. It doesn't seem like it's in bad shape. It's only got 65,000 miles on it.
Do those stakes go all the way around it? Is it stake bed?
I believe so. I haven't actually set them all the way up. I don't know if they go wrap around the back. There's holes for it, so nice. I would assume it does. But like I said, it's going to go to Diesel Pros tomorrow, and they're going to go through the motor completely. And if they don't find anything significant, do transmission flush, transfer case flush, differential flushes, and get all new fluids in it. Depending on how much you guys know about Ford diesel engines, that motor was kind of problematic for Ford. Mm-hmm. So,
what year is it?
A 2008.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's a 6.4.
So it has the rail issue. Is that the ejector issue? Is that the main problem?
Yeah, I don't know for sure what. I know there was a lot of issues with those motors. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, those guys like to delete them and head studs and make them bomb-proof, so depending on whether or not it's worth doing all that stuff. But.
Yeah. Everything I can tell, that thing doesn't have DEF on it.
Yeah, it went in 2008.
It should have like a EGR valve. And
for the exhaust, it does, yeah.
And so they delete all that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, the main thing I think what happens is where they've had problems with that is the injectors fail on them, and it's fairly expensive fix. Mm-hmm. By the time, yeah, when the injectors fail, because it's that high, it's a high pressure injection system that
right.
is prone to failing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the plow, that it's a Meyer plow and it looks in really good shape. So kind of thought I have also, again, looking down the road, so different options we could do. So the plow on our current truck is practically brand new, or we just replaced that plow 2 years ago, I think. And if we turn this into a brush unit, I'd still like to have a pickup where we can move all of our tables and chairs, that kind of stuff around. So my thought would be our utility truck, you know, our plan once we got the new ambulance is that would become kind of a support vehicle in our plow truck. With really not much cost, we could take the plow off of the current plow truck, which is in really rough shape, and put it on this pickup that is running good and have a little redundancy in our plowing. Because that did happen a couple of times last year where the front end went out on that current plow truck and we were begging Chuck to come plow us out when it snowed. So kind of my thoughts on where we could go with the utilization of this truck, if everything's looking good on it. But you know, those DOD program, like I mentioned to you guys in the email, it's a bit of a gamble, and obviously the gamble for surely hasn't paid off yet, but now that we have it, it looks in decent shape, so we'll see what happens. Both positions, the assistant fire chief and training captain, closed yesterday. So we have 7 applicants for the assistant fire chief and 5 applicants for the training captain. Couple of really good applicants, I think, for each position. So I think we're going to be looking good on.
You said some from out of state?
A couple of them for our out of state, a couple local guys. So I think we got a good pool.
Yeah, great.
So you guys know, so my hiring committee is JJ, John Culbertson, who's one of our volunteers, Connor Howarth, who is one of our captains, and Tyra Christofferson, who's one of our residents, and myself as the hiring committee. So we're meeting tomorrow to review applications and select the interview applicants we want to interview. And we're hopefully going to do that the following week. Question I have for the board and looking for some board direction is, would you guys, once we interview, I'm going to do a work performance survey of our final applicant. We'll do a background check. Does the board want me to bring a presentation of who we've selected before I offer a conditional offer to them? And if so, I'm fine with that. My question was going to be, could we do a special board meeting before the July meeting to get that done? Because I would like to try to get that conditional offer out before that July meeting date, just to try to get those positions on as soon as possible.
What do you guys think?
I don't think it's necessary. I mean, my opinion, send us an email, hey, this is what I'm doing. We've already approved the positions. Right? I don't know.
Well, Ken?
I guess I'm a little ambivalent. I could go either way pretty easily. Persuade me. It's interesting to be in the loop, but, we've got good people on that committee, too. So, in some ways, other than just interest, I don't know that we'd be
adding much value
to a good the thoughts that are being provided by a good committee,
sure.
Which we have a good committee there.
Yeah, and we should do a special meeting on the 4th of July. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, and then I guess the salaries, though, we're going to try and stay, depending upon experience, within the approved salaries that were discussed this evening, then. Is that correct? The offers that would be made to candidates would fall into that range, the approved range?
Yeah, I mean, I would offer what you guys approved.
Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm fine with moving forward with the hiring myself. Our employee manual does say that, in the hiring process that the candidate should be brought before the board. So that's what I wanted to ask you guys, if you wanted to review it ahead of time.
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. I had forgotten it was in that manual. I think that we're comfortable delegating it to you, the committee.
Yeah, if you can maybe shoot us an email of the, that we can kind of get an idea, and if there are any questions, then we can
Like you can shoot us an email with their resumes.
Sure.
Just take a look at them and say, here are the 2 finalists or the 3 finalists or whatever that we're going to interview.
Yeah, and if there are concerns, then we could suggest a special meeting if we felt as though there's a need. But I suspect you've got a lot of good judgment on the committee. So.
Okay. Nobody's gotten hurt or nothing's broken down.
Great.
Yeah, other than that, like I mentioned, we have our we have a crew headed to Red Lodge tonight to help out with that fire over there. Obviously, you guys know, but this is building to be a pretty bad year. This is at least a month ahead of where we should be. And if you look at the long-term weather forecast, there's really no change. So in comparisons, 1988, this year lines up pretty close to that. If you guys remember big fires, 2006 was a really big fire year. We're in line with that. And 2012 was another big year that conditions are lining up with. And yeah, just those fires, you know, by Red Lodge and Townsend, the way they're up and moving for it being June 15th is pretty exceptional for this time of year. So, I mean, we're ready. I mean, we always train our guys up well ahead of time and be ready to go whenever anything happens. Fortunately, I think for the Highlight District, we're still looking decent. Everything's pretty green. With this weather, it's not going to take long for it to dry. But at least for right now, we're looking a lot better than some areas. Eastern Montana is in really bad shape. But it's going to be a busy summer. The bad thing, too, is, again, we're good in our district, but we have these conditions pre-4th of July, and that's always kind of a bit of concern is when we go into 4th of July with critical fire weather conditions. Yeah. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, just have to, if anybody, look on the U.S. Drought Monitor website, which actually has a subject, a Montana Drought Monitor, too, and you just watch the expansion of exceptional drought coming out of, expanding from the eastern quarter of the state, expanding into the central part, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and we already have fire activity, and we haven't even gotten monsoonal activity yet that brings all of our lightning. And yeah, if you look nationwide resources, it's going to be interesting as we go through the summer, because Colorado and Utah are in really bad shape. They don't have quite the starts yet, but once those monsoons start kicking into gear and bring that lightning in, it's going to be interesting to see what resources are actually available.
Anything else?
That's it.
Any more questions for the chief? Question for the board. I was talking to Cheryl about this earlier. Hey, you guys want to meet one time a year at this station and at the Ray station?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea to just kind of check out the station.
Yeah, like I was telling Cheryl, I haven't been in this station in probably a decade, and same for the Ray station, which is when I was last in there. Especially if we're, thinking about doing some upgrades there, just so the board's aware of the current state of the facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so maybe we do July?
Mm-hmm. And, I think it's great for the customers, too, if someone wants to come see wants an open house.
So you're suggesting July at the Ray station?
Yeah. Okay. So that is the 20th. How does that work for everybody?
Other than the possibility that I may be gone for, but that's all up in the air. It might not be an early harvest this year if there is much of a harvest.
Looks good to me.
Okay. Any other trustee activities or announcements?
I saw some things about the asphalt. Do we get that resolved?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to get it on this agenda, so I'll get it on July. So we got our renewed quote from Apex for a 4-inch base. From what it would be what you expect, it's about double the price of what their last quote was. But
4-inch base or 4-inch asphalt?
4-inch asphalt, sorry.
Almost 3-inch.
What's that?
Another almost 3-inch.
Sorry.
The other one was 3-inch.
Yeah, 3-inch, yeah.
So it's double to go another inch.
Yeah. Because apparently they have to lay it twice.
Yeah, you got to roll it. Yeah, because you got to, yeah, probably compact it in lifts. Yeah.
So I'll get it on the July meeting and bring that quote to you guys.
Anything else? Anybody have? All right. Thanks, guys. We're adjourned.